Welcome to the Pop Culture Show with Barnes, Leslie, and Cubby.
Welcome to America's number one pop culture show. That's if you live in Denmark. But otherwise, we're number something. Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Culture Show with Barnes, Leslie, and Cubby. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Today, our guest is from Love Island, Matthew Hoffman. Number one show on CBS. Their big finale is coming up in like a day. I can't believe that it's already over. If you don't know what he sounds like, this is him right here.
Welcome to Love Island. Warning, the following program contains love, lust, and the most attractive unemployed people you've ever seen.
He's really funny.
He probably makes great money. And he's never seen, right?
No, he's never seen.
He's animated. I like him.
Well, no, he did. He came out for one brief second, and I believe in season one, like at the very end, they showed you who he was. But no, the whole point, he's just kind of like a fly on the wall making fun of all the people on Love Island. It's very, very funny. We can be heard, you know, now on multiple outlets, including Amazon. And I want to give a shout out. I was looking at the analytics this week for where we're heard, and mostly we're heard on Apple. I think like 73% is Apple. It's so interesting to see. Cubby, iHeartMedia is like 5%. Can you get to work on that? You work there.
Well, first of all, it's iHeartRadio. iHeartMedia.
Well, I meant iHeartRadio. My bad.
Yeah. No wonder. You're saying it wrong. That's why we're not getting any traction. Come on. But we are on the iHeartRadio app, exactly, which is number one for podcasting.
And we get a lot of people on this app called Podcasts and Radio Addict.
I don't know that.
Yeah, it's a what's that stupid phone you have, Leslie? It's not an iPhone. Android. I think it's an Android app.
Android people are very different people, I will say.
Could be your friend. I only got it because I got a free phone several years ago, and it's too hard to come back to the iPhone.
I'm with
you. It's really hard.
I'm not going to lie. I've seen Samsung phones that look really cool, and I think I would like them, but I don't want that whole learning curve.
You got to change your whole world over.
Everything.
It's unbelievable.
Like, that's what I couldn't do. Yeah.
I don't want to lose photos and text messages and anyway.
Well, why are you so techno-Amish, Fram?
Here's the thing. I used to have an iPhone and I loved it. And then several years ago, I did this kind of quasi endorsement for Samsung. And I started using the phone. They didn't really train me properly, but I started, you know, Googling how to use the phone. Now I'm afraid to go back. It is that whole like change. They're very different phones. Let's admit it. The methodology is very different for both phones.
She has an Android, Cubby, because she got a free phone. I mean, do you want to call the spade a spade?
But I think with technology in general, Fram, as smart as she is, and I really admire her, and I think that she has a brilliant mind, but when it comes to technology, like your husband is always hooking you up on the podcast here, trying to get you all linked up. Of all the Zoom calls you do every day and all these things you do.
I do like 12 a day.
But he starts all the calls for you, right? He signs in, he gets you all ready to go.
I could probably do it myself.
Oh, so he doesn't know that.
I probably do myself. I mean, I do my own. I do my own Instagram and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. So
it's like, you know, when you like as a dad, you'll know this with your daughter in a few years. You turn everything on and you hand it to him and go. But Cubby, what I want to know is, what's your excuse?
What do you mean?
You call me for like, how do I plug this cord in?
Well,
you'll call me and FaceTime a picture of a thing and say, which hole do I stick it in?
What?
That's for a number. I've said that a number of times in my life, and I will say
you up so easily for that.
Yeah, there are times I do need the help of Barnes, because when it comes to tech, you definitely are number one when it comes to this whole show. I'll tell you that right now.
Do you have me
and
in by your the phone way, as Tech Barnes?
Tech Barnes, that's what you are. I wanted to mention you can follow us on Twitter. We're Pop Culture Show, on Instagram, The Pop Culture Show, and on Facebook, just search The Pop Culture Show and like our page.
Pop quiz is coming up in a few minutes. The jackpot is up to $150.
Woohoo.
And also, Pop quiz is going to be taking a break for a month. We have a very special announcement next show.
Ooh.
And you both have seen the promo. Are they going to like it?
It's insane.
It really is insane. I really think it's better than some radio stations out there.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, like there are radio stations in like Boise, Idaho that would love to have this prize or heck, Chicago. I mean, big cities. And we have it here on the Pop Culture Show.
Next week, it's going to be all during October. Trust me, you will want to be involved in this. That's all we can say right now. Had a big week of gambling. Did you guys have a lot of gambling this week?
Gambling.
Dude, doing this show is a gamble.
It's a gamble.
Right there.
Yeah. I played golf for the first time in a year and a half this week with Ken Fuchs, our guest from a couple of weeks ago. He's my prisoner. here at the house. And we,
yeah,
and
the
we,
guy living in your basement.
Yep. Ken Fuchs, the director of Bachelor and Bachelorette and Shark Tank. We had a wager, a friendly wager on a golf round, a wager of food. And, you know, he's one of these guys, you go, are you a good golfer? And when you ask me that, I say, no, I'm not, but I'm very fast. And that's to golf people that they're like, okay, well, as long as you're like not holding me up, you're good.
Right.
And he's like, you know, I'm like, okay. So we get out there and then the first hole, he's like not counting like six of the strokes. Because
wait,
well,
you caught him?
Huh?
Was he like kind of trying to cheat and you caught him or?
No, he was just very liberal with his counting.
Oh, I see.
I'm like, bro, you just went in the trees and now you're dropping a ball. That's a penalty. So you're really hitting four. Well, in California, we don't do that. I was like, well, in Georgia, yeah, we do that. And I'm like, now I've got to keep my score and your score. So
did you win?
I did by 10 strokes.
I'll tell you what you didn't win.
Okay, thanks. Can I just this weekend bask in my only golf victory of 2020?
No. I want to talk about the college football pool that you got me involved in that now I'm a part of with you.
Oh, and, did he do that to you?
Yeah,
he got me in. And guess what? Barnes has a goose egg right now because we play with points. And Barnes was leading the pack with 25,000 points going in on Friday, I believe, before the football weekend kicked in.
Yeah, the next closest person had like 12,000.
Well, you blew your whole wad on your Longhorns, and all they had to do was beat Texas Tech by 17 or more, and he would win.
Yeah, 17 and a half. And I never learn. Once you're a fool, always a fool with your team.
He's so loyal.
I thought they could cover, but whatever.
Right. Are you happy, though, because your Longhorns at the end won, and so you got the victory.
It was an instant
definitely
class.
You lost the points.
You got to know when to hold them.
Thank you.
Know when to fold them.
It's for you, baby.
Yeah,
know
there you
when
go.
To walk away. And know when to run.
I got a text message from your husband of you getting a test this week. Corona?
Second COVID test.
Good for you. You finally got the swab. Now, did you get the full on? I couldn't tell in the video. Were you getting it all the way to the brain or just inside?
No, this is the one that goes halfway up the nostril and it makes your eyes water.
That's the new
one.
And
I have to do another one. I'm doing all this, Cubby, because the CMT Music Awards, we're pre-taping a lot of performances all over Tennessee and I have to be on site this week. So we have to get two tests and then another one on site. And so I'll get my third one this week. But then I have to keep getting tested.
How quickly do you get the results?
You get them back in like sometimes 24 hours, sometimes a little bit longer.
I wish they would be dramatic instead of just the boring email that says, you know, COVID negative. Like send a little video that says, hi, Leslie. Are you excited? Here we go.
Drum roll.
And they open up a piece of paper. Negative.
Here's the cool thing, though. I get the concierge that comes over to the house. They have the mask and then they have the full on plastic thing over the shield.
Yeah. It looks like the bug people when they're coming to like spray and they put all that stuff on. So you have all of these massive stars you're working with this week. Cubby, can you check our guest list? Who do we have coming up from the country music world?
Taylor Swift, I don't know. I think Leslie's working on a few people.
They're very busy people.
Yeah.
They're
not too busy to pick up the phone maybe and call in.
I know.
Just carry a little microphone with you, Fran.
I'll try.
Hey, pop culture show. Put your little ID on and then just...
Listen, we had nominations this week, and I'll tell you who's really excited is Gwen Stefani, because she is nominated with Blake for their new song, and this is like her first nomination, so she's super excited.
We'll take her. Cubby, anything brewing with you this week? Anything new? I saw you were at a farm.
Yeah, I went to a farm. A buddy of mine bought a new home, and they have a huge farm. I don't know how big Leslie's is, but it's probably as big as Leslie's, and we took our baby there, and she got to see animals up close.
She was crying. Why are you posting
a picture? No, that was a laugh. Everyone thought that she was crying. She was giggling.
Why is Cubby posting his child crying at a pony?
No, I can't believe you couldn't tell. The baby was laughing.
What kind of animal?
It was a baby pony, and the pony was eating these peanuts in front of her, and she was giggling.
Well, she has a laugh cry.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a laugh cry. But by the way, did you guys notice my T-shirt?
Jägermeister, you finally got something from them because
we talk about them every week.
We talk about them on the show, and I tagged them in an Instagram story, speaking of Instagram, and I made a joke saying, all the times I talk about Jägermeister and post about Jägermeister, you would think I could at least get a free keychain. I made kind of a joke like that, because I am giving a lot of great advertising when I have like 47,000 followers on Instagram, and I never heard from them. And every day, 5 o'clock, Jägermeister time. I mean, I'm free plug. And they were nice enough to send me a Jägermeister t-shirt and a hat and a couple of things that were acceptable.
Wait a second, Barnes, you know what I'm thinking.
Yeah, why didn't you ask for a sponsorship?
We need a sponsorship for the show, for the pop culture show.
Well, I mean, look, I can actually reach out because I do have a direct connection to somebody there now who sent me a nice email. But actually, anybody tuned in right now, if you want to be a sponsor on the Pop Culture Show, what number should you call?
That'd be the show hotline, 404-939-3733.
That's right. Become a sponsor and we will hook you up.
We're always giving money and trips.
You're wearing the Jägermeister t-shirt. You got the machine at home. Come on. Yeah. They're perfect for this.
What's your happy hour beverage of choice, Fram?
I don't drink during the week because I'm on 1,000 Zoom calls, but I do like red wine, Pinot Noir. And I did find out there's one called Fram that's made. Seriously, I just found this out. It's like in Austria or something. So I'm trying to locate where I can buy some because the label actually says Fram.
So cool.
No way. Do you know, I mentioned Bernie Weiss last week, the big wig at iHeartRadio, you know, yeah. Our president of New York. I believe he's from Austria. I'm not kidding. I have to double check. He might be able to get it for you.
There
he's
you
originally
go.
From Austria.
My connection.
Yeah. Sir, what's it called?
Fram.
Fram.
It's called Fram. Oh, it really is.
It is.
It's called Fram.
And you can't find it here in America?
Not yet. I'm looking. I've been searching.
So cool.
The Google machine has been on.
Well, you need to buy like a case of it and start giving it away as gifts. Because then they're going to think it's from our vineyard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right there behind the farm. You missed it when you drove up.
Get money. Get paid. Welcome to Pop Quiz on the Pop Culture Show. Get one question about last week's show correct and win cash. Here we go.
Man, this Venmo just feels like it's about to explode. Nobody has won the money yet. Daphne is here today to give it a try. Hey, Daphne.
Good afternoon,
hey,
everybody.
Daphne.
How's it going?
Yeah, Daphne, where are you checking in from?
I am checking in from Dunwoody, Georgia, on my back porch today, about to go play a tennis match.
Wow. And how did you hear about the Pop Culture Show? We're always curious. I'm guessing if you're in Georgia, you grew up with Barnes and Leslie.
I listened to Barnes and Leslie in the 90s and their previous co-host as well. And somehow I ran across the podcast. Maybe I saw it on Facebook or something and started listening and sharing it with my friends and enjoy it every week.
Congratulations. You win the money.
Bribery. What do you do for a living, Daphne?
I actually own a pest control company. We service... a female pest control owner.
Really?
We have offices in the Southeast.
Nice.
Wait, what's the name? Let's give it a plug.
So it's called Bug Busters. It started in 1984, kind of when Ghostbusters started. And
it's a very pop culture-y name for a business, if you know the backstory.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, my mom loved the movie Ghostbusters, and we got the, you know, who you're going to call. Bug Busters.
Okay, well, here we go. Let's get to business. This is where you can win the $150. It's very, very easy, we think, because we kind of listen to the show or we birthed the show. We have a clip this week, and it is a very short clip, and you are going to have to tell us what this means. The clip is in Arabic. The clip is in Arabic, so please have a listen. It's quick.
Amal.
Okay, have a listen one more time.
Amal.
You have 10 seconds starting now.
So I think that was when you were talking about the cats, telling them to come or the your cats to
What's the word mean? Listen. Quick, time's about to run out.
Oh man,
time just ran out. Oh.
That's bad for Daphne, good for everybody else though, right? Because the money goes higher.
What was the answer? Because I completely fogged on it too.
You fogged on it, Leslie? You were here last week.
I know. I totally don't remember.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
A lot goes on in a week, man.
Wow. Okay.
Come on, Barnes.
Let's rewind to last week.
But again, I think there's also a lot of English speaking. But yeah, Arabic is definitely probably the top language there. But
hey, Siri, how do you say treat in Arabic?
Treat. Amal.
There you go, cubby. So when you say treat, you say, hey, kitty.
Amal.
That's it. So I've helped you.
It's your lesson today in Arabic.
It was treat. Daphne, I'm so sorry.
Oh, I knew it had to do with the cats and Covey adopting two cats. So, bummer for me.
Thank you very much for playing.
Do we have a consolation prize?
Thanks for listening, too.
Do we have a keychain or anything?
No, we don't have a budget for that.
We got to work on that.
We don't have
so
anything.
No consolation.
The consolation is you're still available to play any of our other things we have going on. That's
yeah, maybe I'll win the trip.
Right. Maybe you'll win the trip to the Four Seasons, of course. And
yes, maybe we should see if Bug Busters wants to sponsor the Pop Culture Show, Barnes.
Right. There we go. Now all of a sudden we're taking from you.
Right.
We were trying to
but then if I sponsor,
then,
I can't win.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
That's right. You're part of the family then. Yeah.
Thank you for listening. By the way, we're going to pause this for about a month because we have a big announcement next week. So the next time we do this quiz, it'll be worth $200.
Dang.
Look at that.
We'll bring it back at the first Monday of November. Daphne, thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks guys.
Daphne.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, no winner there this time. But listen, guys, while we're on the topic of losers, I'm sorry. I mean, seriously, I'm not trying to be mean. But remember when we were talking about the Travis
Daphne.
Scott meal?
Daphne, this was not about you.
I know. I'm sorry.
This is about
a segue,
the next story.
Yeah.
We love Daphne because she's a listener. And anyway.
Yeah, the loser is the next person.
Yes. Remember when we were talking about the Travis Scott meal at McDonald's, which was just, you know, whatever he ordered at McDonald's?
Yeah, well, they're now, running out of those ingredients.
They are?
Yeah, that's how successful it's been.
Mm-hmm.
And we made fun of it, too.
Yeah.
So now Panera Bread are taking two of their most popular menu items, the broccoli cheddar soup and the mac and cheese, and they're combining them. The broccoli cheddar mac and cheese.
That's not the bad part of the story.
No, that's not the bad part of the story. That's the good part of the story. The other part of the story is they're marketing it with a song, a theme song.
Oh, this is brutal. Listen to this. This is the chef at the beginning that's talking, and then he's leading into this new commercial.
It's my first big launch as head chef at Panera. How do you make a product launch successful? First of all, you need amazing ingredients. And secondly, you need Michael Bolton.
Oh.
I got just the thing.
When some Mac loves broccoli cheddar.
I mean, seriously?
Can't keep your mouth on nothing else.
I love it.
Two classic loves swirled into one.
I mean, if you brought this up as an idea in a meeting, and you're like, let's get Michael Bolton to do this ad, half the room would sigh, probably.
No, but I think most people get it, though. It's tongue-in-cheek.
Think about what they paid him for this.
Yes, it's soup on tender pasta. It can do no wrong. The creamy cheese and broccoli loves macaroni.
Here we go. This guy will do anything. He will literally do anything.
The way 2020 has gone, watch this song be number one on the pop charts.
Well, what do you think they paid him for that?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. But, but you know what I will tell you? We did talk about it on our morning show in New York on 106.7 Light FM. Throw that in there. And we played that clip. And if you think about it, Panera is winning because they know people are talking about it because of the whole how cheesy it sounds. And it's Michael Bolton.
Cheesy,
and yet,
for real.
Cheesy for real. And they're getting some good press out of it because of people going, oh my God.
He's all about the money.
But you can't knock him though. I mean, the guy had some hits, man.
He did.
Tons.
He has a signature voice, very recognizable signature voice.
He's always chased the money. Instead, like a lot of artists say it's about the music. I think for him, it was about the money. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Just saying.
Do you remember the Jack Sparrow video?
No.
What? A mystical quest to the Isle of Tortuga, raven like sway on the ocean breeze.
Yeah, that was SNL like 10 years ago. Andy Samberg and
the Lonely Island Boys. I totally remember that. They had all those comedy songs and videos.
So when I heard Panera, I thought that.
Yeah, I mean, you proved my point. He will do anything.
True.
He will. You just put it in front of him with a large stack of cash.
Wow.
And he's in. Hey, a couple technology things this week that I think are super cool that Ring has come out with. One of them is, you know, there's a lot of mail theft everywhere. It's been kind of rampant this year. They've got a new camera that goes inside your mailbox that when you open it, and I don't know how you don't get it stolen, but when you open your mailbox, it alerts you and you see the transaction that's going on at your mailbox. I'm assuming you must be able to drill it in there somehow where they can't take it out.
Right.
But that's interesting. But if you have a locked mailbox, it's not going to work, I don't think. You'll just be able to see something coming through. But the cool one, have you seen this new indoor drone that flies through your house and checks on your pets?
Oh, my God. That's never going to work.
Or they a crime. This is unbelievable. Now, it doesn't come out until the beginning of next year, and it's going to cost right at $249. It looks like just a little square box, and the drone actually sits down in it so you don't even see the camera. And when you first get it, you map your house out so you basically have a way to show the camera where the hallways and where doorways are. And you can either set it to dispatch when there's some sort of motion that you've set up within your house, or you can launch it and send it to go check on cats, go check on you. You know, there was a noise, maybe your alarm went off in one of the room, or, you know, like there was a movement and you want to go check it out. It literally flies up out of this little base, and it's small. It's like 4x4, and flies through your house, goes and hovers right where it is, and you have a full live shot, and then it just retreats back, lowers back into the case, and goes back to sleep and charges.
What about for teenage kids?
You'll be sitting there, and all of a sudden, it's buzzing around you.
But how lazy are you when you can't get out of your chair to check on something
when you're not home?
Oh, if you're not home, I get it. Okay, so it's like a Roomba except for air.
Yes,
that's really, really cool, Barnes.
It's like
Seriously.
An air Roomba. I thought it was a joke, and it's for real.
I can see a lot of things going wrong with it getting tangled up somewhere, hitting something.
Well, the rotors are all blocked, and so they're like, even if it fell to the floor, it could probably take back off again. Everything is covered with a guard, so it's not going to get like in your drapes. And it's also going to have probably 1 or 2 feet where it won't hit something. Obstacle avoidance.
I'm not going to come home with it stuck to a cat and hair all wrapped around and
a
tail.
But what a great cat toy. This is going to be a blast.
This is why I like it. Our dog, if we leave the house for a couple hours and we give him a bone, we come back and inevitably he has gone into one of the bedrooms on his own. Listen to this. He will pull the sheets back, bury the bone behind the pillow, put the pillow back and the sheets, and then we find it.
He did that to our bed. We found your dog's bone in our bed, which was hysterical. And he put the covers back over where he buried it.
Smart dog.
He knows.
So I want that drone. I want to see what happens when we're not home.
It's so unbelievable. Cool.
Who makes it, by the way? Is there a company
Ring.
We know?
Oh, Ring.
You said that. Okay. I thought you were talking about Ring, and then you said something that's also cool. I didn't know Ring made it, too.
They're talking about you can check if your stove was left on. You can check if you left a window open, if a door is locked. It's got obstacle avoidance technology. It'll avoid anything in its path. It's very small.
You'll know if you left a window open because it would fly right out, and you'll never see it again.
HD image. Only $249.
I think it's brilliant.
As soon as it comes out, I will have one and I will let you know. But it's going to be a blast to have. I mean, just for the fun of it. I mean, just to have a toy drone to fly around the house. I don't know how you control it. There's a video showing it in action. Google Ring latest security camera and you'll see it.
It's very cool.
Let's get into celebrity sleaze. What a week for talk shows. First, Ellen coming back to her show and making her big apology. I don't know if it was an apology or not. She did say she was sorry, but a lot of the people that work on the show behind the scenes have said really wasn't an apology because she was making jokes throughout the entire time.
Yeah, well, what I've heard is she's sorry that she got caught.
Yeah, and it wasn't very sincere. I saw it.
Some of the quotes from people that work on the show, there's nothing wrong with being the kind lady if you're actually true to your word, because she did talk about being the kind lady. Another person said, it's not appropriate to have jokes in the monologue when you're talking about people who have accused her leadership of sexual harassment and misconduct.
I think you could tell by the manner in which she looked, it seemed like she was checking the box. She knew she had to address it. And so it just, here's a clip of it. It's not very long. It's like a minute.
I've played a straight woman in movies, so I'm a pretty good actress. But I don't think that I'm that good that I could come out here every day for 17 years and fool you.
Yeah, I think that by saying that, she's hoping for the opposite effect. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, she's trying to be so obvious that it's not obvious? Right, okay.
This is me. And my intention is to always be the best person I can be. And if I've ever let someone down, if I've ever hurt their feelings, I am so sorry for that. If that's ever the case, I have let myself down and I've hurt myself as well, because I always try to grow as a person. I look at everything that comes into my life as an opportunity to learn. I got into this business to make people laugh and feel good. That's my favorite thing to do. That and Jenga. I love that game.
And why would you put a joke right there?
That's
what I'm
saying.
You had your one moment where you actually said, you know, oh, I want to make people feel good. And it just seems weird. A little bit left.
Now I am a boss of 270 people. 270 people who help make this show what it is. 270 people who I am so grateful for. All I want is for every single one of them to be happy and to be proud to work here. This has been a horrible summer for people all around the world. People are losing their jobs. People are losing loved ones to a pandemic. People are losing their homes and lives in raging fires that are going on. There's blatant racial injustice all around us. I watch the news and I feel like, where do we even begin? So my hope is that we can still be a place of happiness and joy. I still want to be the 1 hour a day that people can go to escape and laugh. I want to continue to help all the people that we help every day. And I am committed to making this the best season that we have ever had.
As they say in golf, there's your mulligan. Those people clapping are the ones still getting a paycheck.
I feel like she was saving her butt and not taking ownership. That's what she should have done. Is just said, hey, I messed up. I'm part of it. You know, I fixed it.
I agree. I absolutely agree, Cubby, because I think that she made it about herself, but there was no ownership in what was going on. And so this was about toxic work environment. And I think that's why people were a little upset, because she had jokes running throughout the monologue.
It's such a big money generator that they are finding a way to keep it on the air.
I'd love to know her ratings this past week.
I saw the ratings and they said that it was on par for the premiere from last year, and that, you know, it was up a little bit in one of the older demos, and that it, you know, and The View actually beat her in this one particular episode. So I was surprised about that. She did announce at the end of the show that, you know, her DJ sidekick Twitch, that she made him the executive director.
I thought it was executive producer.
No, I'm sorry. Executive producer.
Which, what? You made Twitch the DJ co-executive producer?
Yeah, she made him executive producer.
Okay.
You're questioning the timing, Barnes?
This is kind of weird. A little weird.
Yeah.
And then another talk show. How about Drew Barrymore bringing on her ex-husband, Tom Green?
That was cool. And you know how she's doing interviews with the whole green screen thing?
Yep.
It looks like they're together. It's so good.
She's getting ripped. In the
I know.
Yeah, I mean, no one. Everyone's like, she's phoning in guests. It's all the people she knows, kind of like our show,
like us, yeah. Right?
and she's just really. It's like there's nothing you can get to know about Drew because she's led such a public life.
But you know, I love Kelly and Ryan, but they own that 9 a.m. time slot. I'd kind of like to see them get a little competition. You know, I think Drew's trying hard. I kind of like the show. But it's an uphill battle for sure.
Is it on against Ryan and Kelly?
Yeah, it's on here in New York. It's live at 9 a.m.
I thought it was sweet, though, that how she introduced Tom Green.
Listen to her voice start to quiver. I mean, she is definitely either she's really using her acting skills or she really is touched by this moment, bringing her ex on. They haven't seen each other for like 15 years.
I was so attracted to our next guest. I even married him. Yeah, because that's what you do. Please welcome a wonderful, wonderful man, Tom Green.
Hi, Drew. Hi, everybody.
Oh.
Great to see you.
I a little backstory for anyone is we haven't seen or spoken to each other in far too long.
Thanks for having me here, Drew. And I'm really, really couldn't be more excited about your new show.
I've had two nights of great sleep in my life before my daughters were born. And I don't know why, but sleep is like, it's just been like a weird thing for me. And I remember this night just being so content. And I was at your parents' lake house, and I remember hearing all their voices upstairs, and I was just by myself, and I was going to sleep, and I was like, yeah, this is what, you know, safety and contentedness feels before you're going to sleep. And I will never forget that night. And I love your parents, and I really love you, and I celebrate you. And, you know, when you say like 20 years, it's sometimes it's the blink of an eye. And sometimes you're like, oh my God, we've lived so much in these last 20 years. You've had a whole life, and I've had a whole life, and it's just really nice to come together and check in and talk about it. It just, it thrills me to no end, and I think the world of you, and I celebrate you, and I always have, and I always will.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you. This is really, I was so happy when you invited me on the show. It's been too long. We should have, you know, it's nice to reconnect. We really did not talk for about 15 years, I guess. And this is really the first time we've looked at each other face to face in 15 years.
Crazy.
And what is Tom Green doing these days anyway?
I was going to ask the same thing. I don't know.
Not getting haircuts.
I didn't see the whole interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely not getting haircuts.
What, you're telling me that was, he was not there? That was done with green screen?
Yeah, you got to YouTube it. Drew is doing all her guests with a green screen, and they're in LA, and they're looking at a camera, but it looks like they're sitting on the same stage together.
Boy, it sure looked like it.
It's crazy. And Entertainment Tonight did a whole feature on how Drew is doing it. They're the first talk show to do it this way. And you cannot tell. They showed the studio where like Tom Green is, and he was sitting in a room with a camera, and
Good job.
Piece it together. Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm actually surprised other talk shows aren't doing that, because I don't know if you watch any of the late night shows, but I'll like flip over sometimes and I'll watch Corden or whomever, and a lot of them are still using the crappy Zoom links, and sometimes it just looks bad. So I am surprised that other people aren't using green screen.
Cubby, check Zoom off of that potential sponsor list.
They're doing fine.
Come on, broadcast television, please.
Yeah,
please. Yeah. So this was actually really crazy, but you know, Dax Shepard is coming clean about this after 16 years of being sober. He revealed that he has been battling an opioid addiction. And he, on his, you know, his world famous podcast that he has called Armchair Expert, he talked about it. The first time he fell off the wagon was in 2012 when he went to visit his dad, who had cancer. And I guess, you know, his dad was a former addict as well. And he gave his dad some Percocet, and then he took some. But Barnes, I know you have a clip of that.
I thought you were going to say, Barnes, I know you have some Percocet.
Yeah.
I just had like a month ago.
I was thinking that too.
I had the foot thing. I will say that Percocet is a magic pill. I mean,
it really is. I see why people get addicted to it.
I can see why they get addicted and why they pay for it. This clip is a little bit long. It's less than 2 minutes, but I think it's worth listening to because, A, if you've ever battled any kind of addiction, or B, if you've ever faced death with a family member, there's a lot of really deep topics in this 2 minute clip. But I think it's worth a listen. Here it is. And this is talking about what Leslie just mentioned. He's telling the story about basically going to see his dad for the last time.
I then fly back to see my dad. Mm-hmm. And I don't take the prescription because Kristen's supposed to hand them out. So it's decided like I'm fine enough to just go without them. So when I go back, my father at this point is, he can't walk. He just is in this hospital room all day long. And he says that he really wants to go sit in his house and look at the lake one more time. So my beautiful friend Ken Kennedy builds a fucking handicap ramp in front of his house, and I get him in a wheelchair. My father is not a small man at this point either. Even with cancer, probably weighed 280. So I get him in this wheelchair. I take him to Ryan's, his favorite restaurant. I get him a Gold Brick Sundae, his favorite thing in the world, and he doesn't take any bites of it. And that was the point where I was like, okay, that's probably the last stage for him.
Yeah.
So we didn't eat any of this. I got him ribs and this Gold Brick Sundae, and he didn't take any bites. And then I took him to the house, and they had given me his Percocet.
Yeah.
because he needs to take them every whatever hours. So I give him a bunch of Percocet. And then I go, I have a prescription for this. And I was in a motorcycle accident and I'm going to take some too.
Yeah.
And so I took Percocet and my dad and I sat in his living room and stared at the lake. And it was, you know, we had so little in common and so much friction, but the number one thing we had in common is we were both fucking addicts.
Yeah.
And we had never used anything together. And we sat there stoned and looked at the lake. And in that moment, I felt elation and I was just happy. And I started panicking a bit that mm-hmm. I had done that. And I was wondering if that's a relapse mm-hmm. and, oh no, 8 years is gone.
Man, that's a powerful clip.
It's really powerful. And so he fell off the wagon again recently. You know, he had that ATV accident, hurt his hand, had a lot of injuries and started taking Vicodin. And he basically said it got really shady where he was getting it on his own. And he came clean with his wife, Kristen Bell, and the person that does his podcast. He came clean to them. But he talked about how, you know, even at night, and this just happened, by the way, in the last 10 days, talking about how at night when he's sleeping, he sleeps on a towel and then gets up at 2 a.m. and the bed is soaked. And then he goes to the other side of the bed and puts another towel down. So
wow.
He's majorly detoxing from Vicodin. And he said that the worst thing out of all of this is what he's done to his wife, because he's like, you know, Kristen's going to have to be answering reporters' questions for the next 6 months. Like, tell us about Dax and tell us about his recovery. And so
yeah, he sounds very
It's super addictive. And this latest one for him was Vicodin, but he came clean.
I mean, you can be creative on some drugs, and I'm not endorsing drugs. I'm just saying that is not one of them. You know, you right. get into opioids, right. you're on a bad path of destruction on so many levels. It's not like you're smoking weed. I mean, it's dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Yeah. Have you heard that Tom Cruise is going to space in his next movie?
Yeah, they were, at first I thought it was a pipe dream, but they're going to make this happen, aren't they?
It's crazy. He and the director, Doug Liman, are going to travel to the International Space Station to make a movie. And by the way, there's an extra seat left, Barnes, if you're interested.
No. Can you imagine the paperwork involved in taking Tom Cruise to space?
$55 million if you want to climb aboard.
$55 million?
Yes.
And you get to hang with them for a bit and then go back, I guess.
No, thanks. I'll watch the movie.
And by the way, did you hear that Michael Jordan is now starting his own NASCAR team?
No.
I did. Hello. I did hear that.
His first driver is going to be Bubba Wallace.
That dude gets into so many things.
Wow.
Michael Jordan is just a super businessman.
The Last Drive coming soon.
Yeah, exactly. And in the world of celebrity pop stars, this didn't last very long. Demi Lovato, after being engaged for 2 months, it's over with her fiance, Max Ehrlich. Apparently he was an opportunistic, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
and do you know how much that engagement ring was?
I heard it was like over like $2 million.
What?
Yep. Yeah.
She bought it?
Right around $2 million. No, it was given to her from this dude.
Is he rich?
And apparently.
And by the way, I had no idea who he was. Who is he, Cubby?
That's why I ask. Is he a king?
I don't know who he is either. I really don't.
Apparently somebody said that he's got a real crush on Selena Gomez, so I'm sure that story is just going to blow up.
Well, that's an easy pivot.
Right?
Pretty easy.
Got to get that ring back.
Finally, Kanye West is like, hey, SNL, I want to be on. You've had other past candidates on Saturday Night Live. What about me? And he was talking about how, you know, before, like, John McCain had been on SNL, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama. Now he wants to host SNL.
Is he really a legitimate contender now? Is he on the ballot, off the ballot? I thought he was off,
but apparently now he's saying he wants to be on SNL.
Well, get his ass into that debate.
You could legit, though, put Kanye on SNL and not even give him anything, like no copy, nothing. Just do whatever you want to do. And it would be a huge ratings getter, probably. It'd be a hot mess, but I bet you it would be huge if you just let him do what he does.
Yeah, his stream of consciousness on Twitter, you're right. Just put a camera on him and let him go.
Easily.
Just go.
This podcast is airing before the first presidential debate is airing. I have not been more excited for a presidential debate in like ever.
I agree. Like, it's going to be so good.
I mean, there's never been a time where I'm like, hey, put that down on the calendar. I do not want to miss it. This is going to be the biggest shit show ever, the most non-presidential presidential debate we've ever seen.
And I bet you the ratings will be huge on all the networks.
They're going to be taking pot shots. And Trump is, and I don't care who your guy is. I'm just saying, between the two of them, they are going to be pot shot galore. I don't know how they're going to keep them in line. I cannot.
They're
going to
start doing like mama jokes. Your mama's so fat.
Right?
I want to see Kanye in there too, though, at some point.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Add him in there.
Exactly. Oh, forget it.
Let's have Kanye moderate and be a candidate. And just let, well, I mean, I don't know if he's just, if he likes Trump this week or doesn't like Trump. But man, that would be unbelievable.
Ah, that's your celebrity sleaze, what we live for.
You know, I don't think I know the answer to this. Leslie Barnes, do you have a pool?
Oh, hell no.
No.
I have an imaginary pool.
No.
Do you say, oh, hell no, because of the work?
Yeah.
I don't have a pool because we don't have the room, but I also, it's a lot of work to have a pool.
It's the same thing, Cubby, when you have Leslie growing a watermelon for 18 months and it's a little teeny tiny, and then you could just go to Publix. I would rather go check into a hotel for the very few times that I would actually be in the pool instead of owning it and spending all the money on the maintenance. Like just to
look
at it. Well,
boy, have I found a website for you.
What?
It is called Swimply.
What?
Like the word simply, but Swimply. Swimply.com. It's like an Airbnb for pools.
What?
You can rent a pool by the hour. And this is so cool. I was just doing a little test drive as if I was going to do a rent a pool near me. You put in your zip code.
I'm looking right now.
Wow.
You put in your zip code and it tells you all the pools that are available that you can get. And average price, it's a little steep. $65 an hour I've been seeing.
Well,
I've been seeing.
You're in New Jersey. So you got how much an hour?
Well, the average one I've been looking at, I've been seeing a lot of $60 an hour and I've been seeing a few hundred dollars an hour.
This might be the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
I think that you're right. It's a great idea, but then it isn't. I think that there's a lot of legal stuff you have to get through.
That's the first thing that comes to my head is who's going to pay when someone slips, hits their head.
Correct.
You probably have to sign a waiver.
I haven't done a deep dive into the site, but it just says yours on demand. Enjoy the luxury of a private pool whenever you feel like it. Owning a pool can be expensive. Enjoying one doesn't have to be. With Swimply, you will have access to beautiful family-friendly pools all over the U.S. and Australia. And this is also something to keep in mind, too, if you are a person that wants to host. Maybe you have a pool. You think, hey, I can make a little extra money. You can be a host as well.
Just like Airbnb. Why not? Now, I am looking at Nashville, and the rates are under $100.
Yeah, I'm seeing $60 an hour. I just think logistically, it just looks like a disaster because where do the people go? Are they going to just sit there, peer out their window and watch you party? Because you know it's going to be a party pool. It's not just going to – is that price per person?
I'm trying to book one right now. Not legit. I mean, not really. Yeah. I'm just trying to act like I am. And it says amenities, bathroom, lounge chairs, lunch table, sitting area, shade, very sunny. It doesn't say you have free room with the whole home. So I don't know how they keep people from going just to the bathroom.
Yeah.
This one says maximum 4 guests, $5 per guest after that.
Who polices it, though? That's the thing is you get these people who rent these party houses and they become full on. Next thing you know, there's 70 people.
Right.
Thanks for thinking of me, Cubby, but I'm not feeling it.
Well, if you're feeling it, swimply.com, especially if you live in an area where you get warm weather all year round. Here in the Northeast, you know, it's about to, pool season's done. So I won't even be looking at this until maybe May of next year if I even consider
it. This is crazy. I'm looking, there's a ton of them here all over Tennessee.
Don't we all know, if you probably know someone that has an apartment or a condo or something where you could go and just, you know, hang out at their pool for a little while? Or do you really, if you hang out at the pool that much, shouldn't you consider maybe getting one?
Getting one, right. Can I read one more to you?
Please.
How lame would this party be? This pool says no parties, no loud music, no smoking, no alcohol, no glass. Now, I get the no glass thing, but this is like saying just show up and sit there.
That's what I'm saying. How are you going to police that?
Oh, my God.
Swimply.
Good luck with that.
By the way, we need a new sponsor. So if you're looking to be a sponsor, what number do you call?
Yeah, there's another one to check off the list.
Oh, wow. This week we are crowning a winner. A trip for two to the Four Seasons, Punta Mita.
You know where that is, Leslie?
Punta Mita. It's in Where Punta Mita.
What country? What country?
Where are we going this time? I have no idea. Hang on. I'll Google it.
We've had this for a whole month.
I know.
For a whole month, we've been giving away this trip. The Four Seasons Punta Mita is in Mexico.
Oh, yes, it is. It's in Coral del Risco.
And they got pools there.
Is that how you say it? Coral del Risco?
Yeah. How did you get so far away from just giving the code?
Oh, I'm sorry. The secret code. I would just write this down on your hand right now. 4855 is the secret code for Punta Mita for you and your friends. Four Seasons Punta Mita. And by the way, just go to thepopcultureshow.com. All the information is right there under the episode player.
Yeah. And next week, do not forget to come because we have some goodness. We're giving away this trip this week to someone who has completed all their tasks and then randomly drawn. And Monday, we have a fresh new announcement.
Welcome to Love Island. Warning, the following program contains love, lust, and the most attractive unemployed people you've ever seen.
Please welcome to the Pop Culture Show one of my favorite narrators on the television, Matthew Hoffman from Love Island.
Woohoo!
Matthew!
Hi, guys!
Man, this is so cool. I am a Love Island addict.
Aww! That makes me so happy. You have no idea. I am getting just the loveliest messages from everybody, and it seems to be bringing a lot of enjoyment during this insane time. So that makes me so, so happy. So thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Of course.
I appreciate it.
The finale is tomorrow night on CBS.
Yes.
So if you're listening
yes.
after that has already aired, don't worry about it. You can go back and find it. It was on every night of the week. You guys went through some troubles just to get to this point, didn't you? Because originally, weren't you going to be in Fiji again?
Yeah, correct. I was supposed to be in Fiji, I believe. Oh, I don't even know what day it is now, but I believe we were leaving around, like, I want to say April or May,
mm-hmm.
If my memory serves correct, and we would have went back. We were in Fiji, of course, season one, and then we were, you know, everything was planned to go back for season two, and unfortunately, that did not happen. Obviously, we all know why. But yeah.
Well, let's just face it. One of the highlights of the show is you. I mean, your voice and your delivery.
Stop drinking.
I have a couple of clips. If you don't watch Love Island, first of all, you're missing out on the best trashy TV on the planet. Second of all, you're missing a very unique presentation. Like Leslie says, Matthew presents what's happening. Here are two quick clips of Matthew doing his thing.
Allow me to summarize the next scene for you.
Oh yeah. Boring.
Like.
This is season one, and here's one other quick one.
Now, Yaman serves dessert with just a spoon and fork. I suspect the knife is still in Alana's bag. First up, the boys serve an exotic fruit platter, which is incidentally an old nickname of mine.
So
seriously, makes the show.
You're very sweet. Thank you. It's the most fun. Yeah, it is the most fun.
How quickly do you turn that stuff around? Because you're on every day on CBS.
Yeah, we are 7 nights a week, and the turnaround time is insane. You know, what's so great about Love Island is it's a show that you can watch in as close to being live as possible. So for the viewer, that is amazing. For me, sometimes that's a little tricky, but it's a very quick turnaround time. I get here very, very early in the morning. I will not give you a time. It will ruin the glamour for you. And we get in, and I watch the show like the viewer does. So I am very adamant that I do not know anything that you do not know at home. So everyone's,
really?
You know, my mom, after I call, my mom and dad are like, what's the scoop? What's happening tomorrow? And I'm like, I have no idea. I have no idea. And the amazing stuff here is very clear that I don't want to know, who went home in the night or, you know, who got voted off before I watch it, because the whole shtick of the narrator, my whole goal with this role is to be your best friend on the couch, right? So like watching the show literally with you, if I knew anything more than you did, I personally believe that that would color everything. It would be, you know, it would turn into acting then. It would be like, oh, you know, it would just be different for me. So I am very adamant about that. And then I get in and we watch it and we press play and I watch it like you guys. And then we, you know, there's obviously parts where there's tricky narration and then, you know, we stop it, we play it, we say, oh my God, what's happening in the background? Oh my God, is that a shadow from a drone? I will definitely be talking about that. You know, it's just such a wild process.
Matthew, have you ever done radio?
I have not, but it is one of my dreams.
No kidding.
You could.
It's one of my dreams. Yeah, for sure. I, you know, it's definitely something that I would love to do.
You have such a unique style. Do you emulate or look up to anybody? Like, who has inspired you, and where did you kind of find this snarky delivery? I mean, snarky is probably the best way to put it because of the things you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's a funny question to ask because there's a tremendous amount of myself in this. However, it's more of a performative version of myself,
yes.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
Because the arena obviously is different, but you know, all of my friends who watch this show are like, are you serious? You got that in? Like you've been saying that for 10 years. How is that on TV now? I'm like, y'all late. Like I've been, you know, hello. I've been doing this for, you know, a while. So he is definitely, based in me, 100%. And then there's obviously styles that I play with. You know, I have a couple of different voices throughout the show. I love the viewer to kind of just be like, what is he going to say next? What
yes.
is happening next? I don't ever want it to be one note. So, you know, I play with about three or four different themes that I'm sure some people can guess, but some are more subtle. You know, it's funny. And even how I got the part or got invited to try out for it, an executive had said, you would be perfect for this. And I was like, okay, here we go. And when the audition actually came in, I watched it and I was like, this is actually, I got the sides and I was like, this is so funny. And then I watched it and then I Googled the show and I was like, this is a phenomenon and I will never get it. It will go to every celebrity in town. And with that, I said, I'll rewrite it. I'll die on my own sword. So I rewrote everything basically in my voice. That's the rest is history.
Because you did the first season also. And
I
like,
did.
Like being in it so early, you're now such a signature of the show. And it's so funny to watch. And I know you've done a lot of entertainment reporting and I've seen some clips of you and you're very funny and everyone just loves you. Like all these celebrities, because you do these unique, I wouldn't call them pranks, but like things that you either bring a gift for somebody.
I'm a stunt king. Yes, I love a stunt. As you know, all the celebrity interviews you're talking about, the time you have with talent is so small. It's literally less than 4 minutes. And my whole thing is like, how do I make them shine in 4 minutes? It's a very tough ask. And you know, I just personally, I just never want to go in to an interview and have them, you know, I do a lot of press for Love Island and it's like, you know, after a while you just get stuck answering, you know, the same question. And my whole thing is like, how do I go in there and get a real, real response and make them feel special, because it takes a lot to be in a movie or in a project, and you know, people are really proud of what they're doing, and you know, I just want to lift them up and you know, have a nice memorable moment, so hopefully they like it.
Yeah, I really feel like people appreciate it too when you've done your homework and you know a little bit about their project, you've done your show prep. Was there any celebrity in your past when you were doing the special correspondent stuff that you were really surprised, like they were just over the top really cool or nice?
Oh, you know, the number one question I always get is who's the worst, who's the meanest, who is not what you had expected, right? And I have to say, I have never had, I've done hundreds and probably, definitely over 600, actually probably pushing 1,000 interviews. And I have never, you know, when you do press days, everybody is always there to kind of play. Like, we know what we're getting into, you know, it's not like, there's no moment I've caught you off guard. You know, it's very clear what the day is. So everyone has been really, really so lovely. I was surprised. I did a bit with Denzel Washington where I told him that my mother was watching the interview, and if he could please read this card to camera. And it just said, "Hi, Lorraine," you know, something really, really quick. And he did a whole bit with it, and I literally, like, could not believe the amount of commitment.
That's a shock.
That's cool.
That you did. Yeah, and you can Google it. Google my name and Denzel, and it comes up, and it is just it's absurd, is what it is. So yeah.
Yeah, because he's known for being pretty stiff and not playing games.
He's a serious actor, and yeah, he does not have to suffer anything for me. That is for sure. So the fact that he did and he played, and my mother, I think, probably plays it every day. I'll bet money on that. So it paid off. It was a great Christmas gift that year, I'll tell you that.
Well, Leslie and I and Cubby, we forgot to mention, Cubby could not. He had to leave early because it was bath time, Matthew. He had to go do bath time. Yeah.
Do what you got to do, Cubby.
Yeah, he had to do what he has to do. So he's not here today. He was very sorry he missed it. But Leslie and I did a radio show together for years, and we unanimously have, and we've talked about this before, a worst interview ever. It was Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Oh.
He was not. He did not come to play, as you say.
Yeah, it was sad.
You know, it's tough. It is a tough arena. Everyone says, "Oh, you do. You make it look so easy." And I'm like, no. It is it's tough. It is very tough.
I know you've been with the show in the past. Are you in Vegas or are you in LA?
I am in, season one. I recorded the show from a padded windowless booth in Fiji. And season two, I am in a padded windowless booth under an off ramp in the deep part of Los Angeles.
Okay, so you're not in Vegas. Have you been to the villa with them at all?
I have not. This season, I have not. Season one, some I met when they were voted off. So I would introduce myself, and everyone's like, "Who are you?" And I'm like, "Let me explain," because, you know, it was season one and, you know, whatever. So that was always a weird and amazing encounter. And then season one, finale night, I had met whoever was the couples that night. I had met them all, and I had to again introduce myself, and it was lovely. And the season one contestants and Islanders, they're the nicest group of kids. Like, honestly, they're just so amazing, and I keep in touch with most all of them pretty much throughout the year, and they're just the best. It's funny, it's like I am such a fan of the show, so when I meet them, literally when I meet them, I'm fangirling. I'm just like, "Oh my God, I've been watching you," you know, to do what I do. You drink the Kool-Aid. It's like I am in it, you know, very, very deep for, you know, 30-something episodes. So I feel like all of them are my friends. And it's like when you meet them, you just kind of like, "Oh my God." And, you know, it's pretty, pretty cool.
I already know who I would have been booting. I would have been rallying the guys to get rid of, and they did. Mackenzie, cannot stand her. She likes whatever's in front of her at the time, and she can't, you know, anything that goes against her, the world's against her. I feel so bad for that first guy that she was with. What's his name? I can't remember their names.
I believe you were speaking about Connor.
Yes, Connor. I feel so bad.
It was our favorite Irish law firm, Connor and McKenzie.
Yeah, right, exactly. And Moira, poor Moira, just whatever comes in front of her next, she's like the little sad puppy dog. Who just
I just want to beat everybody, and I know it's not going to happen for a while with the climate, because, you know, I root for all of them. So everybody always asks me, like, the number one question is, like, who is your favorite? And I don't, you know, I think of them as my children, and unlike my parents, I don't have favorites. You know what I'm saying? Like, they all of them, there's qualities in all of them that I really respect. And think about it, they are all going on national television. They have no idea how it's going to end up, and they're the most, like, they're my vulnerable heroes. Like, are you kidding? You couldn't pay me enough to be on a bathing suit in national television.
Well, you're too nice. If I had your job, they would probably be like, "Tone it down, bro, just a little bit."
Oh God. I mean, well, make no mistake, that is a frequent note.
but, were there ever any plans for you to be visually on the show?
You know, I made my visual debut this year on the first episode of More to Love. And yeah, it was a quick cameo, and I believe the line was, this is actually like probably 3 weeks ago, but it feels like 20 years ago, but I believe the voice was, the line was, this is the face my voice comes out of.
If I was the producer of this show, I gotta say, Matthew, I would have you doing the hosting job also.
Oh, gosh. Nobody wants that. Ariel Vandenberg is our queen. She is unbelievable.
I know, but...
You do not want me to ruin anything. There is a reason I am in a locked closet.
I don't know. I see you hosting a show soon.
Yeah, you've got the skills. Do you feel like the Vegas thing has been as successful as being on an actual island? At first, I had trepidation. I was like, oh, they're going to do it in Vegas at a bar? Like, what? But then when you see it, it makes sense.
I have to say, you know, I went through season one, obviously. We did 22 episodes in Fiji. And watching this, it's just, I mean, to me, it just looks unbelievable, as did season one. They're just obviously, you know, different. But I just think that they have done such an unbelievable job making it splashy and so vibrant with the colors and the scope of it. It's just a massive, you know, playground. It's just visual. It's visually like unbelievable. So look, we are, you know, this is the cream of the crop who are making this happen, and it's, you know, whether it's in Fiji, whether it's in, Vegas, whether it's in my apartment. I mean, these are the guys to make this look amazing, you know?
How much time do they actually get to hang out and not be filmed? Do they get time? They don't look like they're partying that much.
No, you know, I mean, I can't speak to that so much because I really, truly only do see what you see.
Right.
But I do know that there's, I would say, what, 25 million cameras on them at all times.
Right.
They are never off. The cameras are never off. I know that for a fact. So.
Well, congratulations, Matthew. You guys have been crushing it. The ratings have been phenomenal on CBS every night. That's pretty impressive.
And we love listening to you.
Oh, you're so sweet. I am having a blast. You have no idea how fun it is to do this. It's amazing. So I thank you guys for watching.
Absolutely.
So, and it's been great to talk to you. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. And there's never been a show in the history of my television watching where I've been actually excited because of the narrator. Like, it's so weird.
Oh my gosh.
No, I mean, because it's so funny. I mean, that's what makes the show. So congratulations.
Thank you. That's such a high compliment. I really, really appreciate it. Because it came out another way. People are like, shut up. You're ruining my show.
Matthew Hoffman, Love Island narrator. We can't wait for season 3. And thank you very much for coming on.
Aw, thank you guys for having me. You are the best. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to another pop culture show. Not another one, but this one, the pop culture show. Please rate, review, and subscribe. We will see you next week.